And now, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, it's time for the I Love Ann Show.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery, and I have Congressman Trey Gowdy on the line with us, and he's back in South Carolina. How you doing today, Congressman Trey Gowdy?
I'm doing fantastic, Ann. How are you doing?
Good. I know you're glad to be at home, but gosh, you know, you see the news, you see what's happening in Washington and everything. When you went up there, did you ever have any idea that you'd be in the limelight because of so many things that are happening in oversight?
No, ma'am. I really had no preconceived expectations. It's so different from being in the criminal justice system. I had no idea what to expect. I know that I asked for oversight because I wanted to be part of what I had seen Chairman Issa doing in the past. And, you know, with Fast and Furious and with a GSA and the Secret Service scandal, while I wish all three of those things had not happened, it is in many ways an exciting time to be on that committee.
Absolutely. How do you think Congressman Issa is doing on all these fronts, as you're observing and part of this, too?
I am a horrible person to ask because I'm completely biased.
You're completely biased?
I am completely biased when it comes to Daryl Issa. I think he has an extremely hard job, which is trying to do apolitical or non-political investigations in an inherently political environment where everything he does is going to be subject to criticism. You have to have very, very thick skin, which he does. You have to be resolute in the direction that you're going to march, which he is. And when I say I'm biased, I like him so much personally that of course I'm going to think he's doing a good job. But if I were a witness in court, they wouldn't even let me testify because they'd say you're too biased.
You know, though, Trey, every once in a while, we do need somebody that's really in our court, don't we?
Well, you know, Daryl is something of an enigma. They take, for instance, his committee has jurisdiction over the District of Columbia. And there were certain expectations that Daryl was going to come in and want to be the mayor of the District of Columbia and try to micromanage the city finances. And he has proven all that to be incorrect. He's a very reasonable, his background is in business. He clearly has an interest in the law, not just because of oversight. He's also on judiciary with me.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, I met with him for over an hour. What day was that? Thursday? No, Friday morning. Friday morning before we left, I met with him for over an hour on Fast and Furious and a couple of other things. He's always in the same even-keeled, even-tempered mood. And, you know, I tell him, most people in Washington aspire to be a committee chairman.
Uh-huh.
They want to pay their dues and be there long enough to be a committee chairman. And I told him Friday, I would not have your job for five times the salary. First of all, I won't be there long enough. But second of all, I have the freedom to just prepare, ask my questions, pick the issues that I'm most interested in. And Daryl, in many regards, has to be an expert at everything. And that's hard.
Absolutely. So, you know, getting on to Fast and Furious, I saw you on Greta the other night. I know that and all over the news is what is going to happen with Holder. Are you all going to hold him in contempt in Congress? And, of course, then there's the word that by, Memorial Day. What do you say about all this?
Well, what I say about it is this. It's been over a year, and I still could not tell Brian Terry's family everything that happened with respect to Fast and Furious that resulted in the death of Agent Terry. I can't tell you who within the Department of Justice approved the tactic of gun walking. There are certain things I can tell you. I can tell you no one's been disciplined. I can tell you that I could not look you in the eyes and tell you that we have safeguards in place that would prevent this from ever happening again. And here's the way I really look at it, Ann. If you and I received a summons for jury duty, is mm-hmm. not an option for us whether or not we go. We go or the judge sends the sheriff to get us.
Correct.
If you receive a subpoena to testify or for a deposition, it's not an option for you to decide, you know, that's just, I don't feel like going. So why should it be an option for the Attorney General? I suspect strongly that we are going to have what we call a markup, which is where you have a committee hearing, and the Democrats will offer amendments and try to politicize it and say that we're just going after Eric Holder, you know, pick one of the reasons that they always pick, whether it's race, whether it's we just don't like him, whether it's a, you know, an election year season, which, by the way, this started last year, which was not an election year, but the facts are, you know, facts are optional when it comes to arguing in
sure.
Washington. I'm asked all the time back home, when are y'all going to do something about Eric Holder? And I went to Boehner, and I went to Chairman Issa, and I said, I don't have a good answer for that. In fact, I got the same question. When are we going to do something about Holder? And the answer is we're going to do it before Memorial Day. Now, what may happen, Ann, is he may decide to give us the documents that we're asking for on the eve of the contempt hearing, which is not the way to do business. It doesn't generate confidence in the Department of Justice. But what we really want, even more than holding him in contempt for not giving us the documents, we want the documents.
And will you get the documents without stuff being, what, redacted so you can't see anything?
Well, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and lots of these pieces of paper are black.
Right.
Everything's been redacted. There are certain things that, you know, I don't have any interest in. I don't want to know the names of witnesses. I don't want to, you know, things get leaked in Washington, and things get in the wrong hands, and I don't want to jeopardize anyone. I think the best practice is to have a neutral, unbiased referee that if I think something is privileged or should be redacted, that I show it to that person and let that person decide. We're not really that objective when it comes to judging our own work.
Sure.
So at a certain point, we're at the mercy somewhat, but by the same token, you can't redact things that are not properly redactable. And keep in mind, Ed, we have other sources for some of this information. In fact, we have some of this other information that we're asking him for. So, and our question to him is, if we're getting it from other sources, why aren't you giving it to us?
Isn't
so
there a
witness? Be careful when you redact things because you never know whether the person already has the very document he or she is asking for.
And isn't there a witness or something that's been leaking some stuff or something?
Well, there are several what we call whistleblowers.
Okay.
And yes, I have I would conservatively say a 6-inch stack of documents that Daryl sent with me Friday to read, review, memorize, and be ready to go on when we come back.
So you're not really getting a break, are you, Trey?
Well, no, when we come home, they're not break. Well, I'll say this. Any day in South Carolina is a break.
Is a break.
But, no, we have speeches and plant tours, and
sure,
we're in graduation season, so I get to speak to some graduating college students. I get to speak to some graduating ninth graders. I get to speak to some graduating elementary school students. All that this week. But in the evenings, I'll be sitting here in the home office reading through Fast and Furious documents, which is fun for me. It reminds me of my old job.
Well, what are you going to tell these graduating students here? You know, just give us a synopsis of what you're thinking that you want to send them out there into the world with.
How to turn success into significance.
Okay.
How to take your degree to say no to what the world is telling you, which is go make as much money as you can, buy the nicest car, the biggest house, that you have to have something that gives your life significance. You have to be willing to lose. You have to be willing to sacrifice. You have to be willing to bring others along with you, because that's what leaders do. So if you think that making a lot of money and driving a big car and having a nice house is success, I think when your life is over, you are going to be disappointed. The essence of life, and this is not original with me, this is what Tolstoy said, the essence of life is service to others. And the sooner you learn that, the happier you'll be.
Absolutely. Good message there, Trey. But now let's get back. We're talking about Fast and Furious, the GSA. Did anybody have any idea up there? Had there been grumblings or that did people know this was coming out?
No. And once again, and I am not always 100% complimentary of the media, but the media also has sources, mm-hmm. in many instances, better sources than what we have. And I think it was a newspaper article that tipped us off on this lavish conference in the midst of a recession while you know people are worried about being able to take their family on vacation. And here we have GSA workers spending your money on commemorative coins and a mind reader.
Right.
So that's why Daryl, all of us who chair committees always give the House Oversight website. We always encourage the public to tell us anytime you see or hear something that you think warrants our scrutiny. You know, when in my old job, and the defense attorney used to stand up and say, on the other side of the room are the vast resources of the federal government.
Right.
And I thought to myself, the vast resources of the federal government is me sitting at a computer at 2 o'clock in the morning. Are you kidding? What resources are you talking about? The same is true in Congress. You would think that we would have ways of knowing what every single agency is doing with respect to conferences. The truth of the matter is, and this is a criticism, not a compliment, we are way too reactive. Something happens, we find out about it, we have a hearing, or what I call an autopsy, where we figure out the cause of death, but we don't do anything to prevent it from happening the next time.
And
what we really ought to do is say, no conference-related travel. Do it with a telephone. Do it with video conferencing. There are some things that may have to be done in person, but it's a pretty small, this neat little thing Alexander Graham Bell came up with is good enough for me and you this morning.
Absolutely.
So the bottom line in is we spend other people's money differently from the way we spend our own. And it really should be the opposite. I should be more zealously careful of not wasting your money than I would my own. But that's not, we order differently. You know, do you want an upgrade? Yeah, sure. I'm traveling on the company's dime. Sure, I'll take an upgrade. But if it were my own money, no, I might be happy in coach. So how do we get this mindset? And if you can't get the mindset corrected, cut off the money. And that's where we're headed. Just cut off the money.
Well, I saw that that's what you were saying, not to bounce back, but to talk about about Eric Holder. You're talking about cutting off the money to the Justice Department, yes?
You're daggum right. He is the chief law enforcement officer for the United States of America. I hold him to a really high standard, separate and apart from politics. If he's not going to comply with our subpoena, then we need to use every arrow in the quiver, including his appropriations bill. So if he wants to go back and explain to the people that work for the Department of Justice why they're not getting a paycheck, the explanation's simple. You're not getting a paycheck. You're not having any training. You're not having any office supplies because I've decided not to turn over documents to the Oversight Committee. If he wants to have that conversation, that's up to him.
But how realistic is that, Trey?
How realistic is it that I'm going to do it, or how realistic is it that my colleagues in the House will agree with me?
Number two.
Probably not. But you know what? What really matters is whether or not he thinks that's a possibility.
Okay.
And what really matters is whether or not he wants to have that conversation.
Sure. Now, on the GSA, well, what are we going to do about the GSA? You said that there shouldn't be any travel, but I noticed that you didn't say there won't be any travel.
Well, we're working our way through all the, and you got to keep in mind, everybody hates earmarks.
Right.
So earmarks are when Congress directs the spending. That's an earmark. Whether we like what they do with it or not, that's technically an earmark.
Yes.
The way Washington works is you appropriate, you know, $100 for the General Services Administration. And the General Services Administration, in large measure, decides how to spend that $100. And if we say you have to spend 10 on this and 20 on that, that's considered an earmark. So what we need to do is we have to pass either provisos or enabling legislation, and there are bills out there. Dennis Ross from Florida just dropped one, where we are going to direct the appropriators appropriate no money for office, but for agency-related travel, unless you can meet the following criteria. Number one, this cannot be accomplished any other way than with a trip. Conferences are a luxury.
Exactly.
We stopped having them, and the solicitors in South Carolina stopped when we went through horrendous budget years. It's amazing when the money is cut, how you reprioritize life.
Absolutely. Businesses have been doing that all during this last 5 years.
So have families do it, businesses
sure.
do it. So you would hope that GSA would say, look, times are tough. Let's see what we can do to cut costs. Well, since they haven't done that, what Congress could do is they can either they can earmark and say no money at all for this purpose, but people don't like earmarks. Or they can say, no appropriations for travel unless you can prove the following things. Number one, this is indispensable. There's no other way to accomplish this goal absent travel. The other thing you can do, Ann, is what I suggested, which are sanctions, criminal sanctions, indictments. If you put something out to bid and you share the bid with a competitor, that's a crime. If you use your office or I use my office to get a personal benefit, a better loan rate, a better price on a car, that's a crime. So when GSA employees negotiate with the hotel shop a better price on a handbag because they control which hotel GSA picks next year,
sure.
Tell me why that's not a crime.
Yeah. Well, you know, the only thing I have is like we as everyday people just feel like it's just so out of control. This just shows it again. And yet, will Congress be able to get together on something? I mean, do the Democrats and the Republicans all feel together that this is an issue that we can get together on?
It was the most non-political hearing that I have been part of since I've been there. So, yes on that. My real fear is, and I said it again, we had a hearing the next day on Medicaid fraud, people gaming the Medicaid system. I'm just sick of having autopsies on dead patients, finding out what went wrong, you know, several million dollars later.
Yeah.
I'd like to do something that says this is not going to happen again. Part of that is with leadership. I mean, the reality is we cannot fully legislate morality.
No, that's
true. You shouldn't have to tell someone, don't use your office to negotiate a better price on a purse. You shouldn't have to tell people hiring a mind reader in the midst of a recession is a bad idea. That person should be fired. And that's another way to control conduct, is to have consequences for it.
We don't seem to have many consequences, though, do we, Trey?
No. You and I, you know, I can be bounced out every 2 years.
Coming up in November.
for any reason or no reason.
Right.
I suspect, unless your contract is a lot different from other contracts in South Carolina, they can probably get rid of you.
Probably.
There's a full-blown process in the federal government. You've got to jump through a lot of hurdles and a lot of hoops and essentially commit a capital crime to lose your job in the federal government.
That's just wrong, Trey.
We're also trying to do that, but keep in mind, the House can do what it's done. They can pass 70, 80 bills, send them to the Senate where they collect dust. And until we get both branches of government equally interested in something, it won't be done.
And that's because of partisan politics.
It's because you have the Senate controlled by one party, the House controlled by another, and it's a presidential election year. You know, I'm not blaming the president for GSA. I'm not blaming the president for Secret Service. I mean, that's the other part of it, is everyone should be outraged separate and aside from politics. If anything ought to bring us together, it's the fact that our money's being wasted.
And you can't get this money back. That's the thing with the GSA. We can't recover that.
Some of it we may be able to, not in any great degree.
Okay.
But that's the other way that you can get people's attention, is when you take your wife on an island hopping GSA trip. Go ahead and sue to get the $13,000 back for your wife's cost. $13,000 checks for most people I know are hard to write.
Exactly.
That's another way to do it. What we cannot do is have a hearing, do a few radio interviews, talk like we're tough, and then forget about it.
That's I agree with you there.
I've got a little tickler system in my office where I calendar 3 months later, 6 months later, follow up and make sure that we haven't just had a hearing and forgotten about it.
That's true, and we see that over and over and over again, Trey.
I see it, and it frustrates the... It frustrates the heck out of me, because, you know, we pound our chest, and we act like we're fiscally disciplined and tough, and we ask tough questions, and then next week it's something else, and next week it's something else, and there's never any follow-up.
I think that's one of the things that... that frustrates Americans is to see this. What do you think, though, going forward? What do you think about the elections? Where do you think we're headed coming up in November?
I think it's extremely close. I think it'll stay close. I think it will come down to women under the age of 50 in about 9 swing states.
Wow. Okay.
And South Carolina's not one of them.
Okay.
So it won't be old men like me. It will be young ladies like you that determine who the next president is, if you believe the polls. And most polls, I mean, look, that's why the president and Kathleen Sebelius came up with this, you know, contraception mandate, which is patently unconstitutional, but they don't care about that. They came up with it because here we've got this block of women who care very much about the issue. And they're so busy living lives and taking care of families and working and doing all this that they're not going to stop and take the time to read a whole series of Supreme Court cases on religious liberty. So they don't view it as a constitutional issue. They view it as a public health issue. Hey, would I like to have free contraception? Well, this guy's offering it to me, and these people say that the employer shouldn't be made to do it. Why don't I go with the group that's promised me free stuff? That's the sole policy behind what they've done. The question is, are our fellow citizens smart enough to see through it and know that in reality, Ann, nothing is free?
So we're all paying.
But free because I don't pay for it?
Right.
Somebody's paying for it.
Exactly.
And then that becomes a character issue, which is a whole separate conversation.
Well, Trey Gowdy, you know, I always enjoy having you on my show. I really appreciate the fact that you were able to spend a little extra time with us today, and I certainly hope you enjoy what time left you have back here in South Carolina.
And I can tell you this, time flies when I'm talking to you. It felt like about 2 minutes, but I looked at the clock and I've kept you too long, but thank you for letting me come on.
No, I appreciate the fact you were able to spend the time. I know you're very busy. God bless, and thanks so much for talking to us, Trey.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.